welcome on to NBA Recap. Today is Wednesday, January 26th, and we had 9 games on in the NBA last night, so let's get right into them. Starting off in Detroit, the Nuggets just edged past the Pistons, 110-105. In Toronto, the Raptors beat the Hornets, 125-113. In Washington, the Clippers just beat the Wizards, 116-115. In Philadelphia, the 76ers defeated the Pelicans, 117-107. In Boston, the Celtics demolished the Kings, 128-75. In Brooklyn, the Lakers beat the Nets, 106-96. In Houston, the Spurs handled the Rockets, 134-104. In San Francisco, the Warriors eased past the Mavericks, 130-92. And finally, in Portland, the Timberwolves just defeated the Trailblazers, 109-107. So we will break down all 9 of those games in just a moment. But first, if you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoy the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review. It really helps get the word out. All right, so starting off today in Detroit, where the Pistons were just defeated by the Denver Nuggets, 110-105. The Nuggets were once again led in all 3 categories by Nikola Jokic, 28 points, 21 rebounds, and 9 assists. Just incredible production for the reigning MVP, and they also got double-digit scoring from all 4 of the other starters, including 20 from Jeff Green. Whereas the Pistons were also led in all 3 categories by one player, and it was the rookie, the number 1 pick, Cade Cunningham. He had a huge game, 34 points, 8 rebounds, and 8 assists, possibly his best game thus far of his short NBA career. And they also got 21 from Sadiq Bey, the sophomore. But unfortunately for the Pistons, they were just edged in the end by the Nuggets. It was a low-scoring fourth quarter. The Nuggets had a small lead heading into the fourth, but they only managed 13 points. The Pistons actually had 20 points in the fourth, but they were not able to catch the Nuggets as they had built up enough of a lead at that point to hold on and get this win in the end. And the shooting splits were actually pretty similar for both teams, but there was 2 key areas in which the Nuggets totally dominated and then totally fell apart. So the reason why the Pistons were able to get back into this game late was the turnovers. Denver was doing their absolute best to give this game away to the Pistons. They had 25 turnovers. That is ridiculous. Whereas the Pistons were extremely tidy with the ball. They just had 9. So a huge dichotomy there. But the Nuggets totally dominated on the boards. They out-rebounded the Pistons 56-36. So huge differences in those 2 categories. The Nuggets really saving themselves with all the offensive rebounds that they were able to gather, but they almost gave this game away with the turnovers. But nonetheless, they got the win in the end. And so with this win, they now improve to 25-21. So that is good for 6th in the Western Conference. They are 1 game behind the Dallas Mavericks in 5th, and 1.5 games up on the Timberwolves in 7th. And the Nuggets have a plus 1.2 point differential, which puts them exactly where they should be in the standings. And they are 7-3 in their last 10 games. And as for the Pistons, this loss takes them to 11-36, so they are still in 14th in the Eastern Conference. They are 2.5 games up on the Magic in last, and they are 5.5 games down from the Indiana Pacers in 13th. And the Pistons have the worst point differential in the entire NBA at -9.6. They're on a 3-game losing streak. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Nuggets, as I mentioned, were led by Nikola Jokic, another MVP-caliber performance. 28 points, 21 rebounds, and 9 assists. He was 9 of 20 from the field overall. Perfect 7 of 7 from the free throw line, and he had 3 3-pointers as well, 1 steal. Just incredible production. And he was plus 14 in the plus-minus, which was a team high. They also got 20 points from Jeff Green in 29 minutes. He was also very efficient, 8 of 12 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 1 assist. They got 16 points from Aaron Gordon. He was 6 of 11 from the field. He had 5 rebounds and 5 assists with 1 steal, 1 block, and 1 3-pointer. 12 points for Monty Morris, although he was ice cold in this game, 3 of 14 from the field, 0 of 4 from 3. However, he was 6 of 6 from the free throw line. In fact, the free throw shooting for all 5 starters was very good. They were 21 of 23 altogether. And Morris also had 8 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1 steal. And then Austin Rivers, rounding out the starting lineup, had 10 points and 2 assists in 27 minutes. And off the bench for the Nuggets, they got 9 points from the backup big man Zeke Nagy. In 18 minutes, he was 3 of 4 from the field, 2 of 2 from beyond the arc, had 5 rebounds. 4 points from 3 players. DeMarcus Cousins, the backup big man, the recent acquisition, he was just 1 of 5 from the field, but he had 7 rebounds and 2 steals, 6 turnovers. 4 points for Facundo Campazzo, the backup point guard. In 19 minutes, he was 1 of 3 from the field, he had 2 assists. And 4 points as well for Bones Highland, the rookie, he was also 1 of 3 from the field. And then they got 3 points from Bryn Forbes, another recent acquisition, but he was ice cold as well, 1 of 7 from the field. And as for the Pistons, they were led by Cade Cunningham. He was incredible in this game, 34 points in 40 minutes. He was 14 of 26 from the field, 6 of 9 from beyond the arc. That is fantastic. And he had 8 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, and 4 blocks. Stuffing the stat sheet, Cade Cunningham. Hopefully this is a sign of things to come from a fantasy perspective, because he is going to be an absolute beast if he keeps this production up going forwards throughout his career. And then they also got 21 points from the sophomore, Sadiq Bey. In 34 minutes, he was 8 of 17 from the field. He had 3 threes, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals. And then they got 14 points from Hamidou Diallo in 26 minutes. He was 7 of 16 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 2 steals. 7 points for Corey Joseph, the point guard. In 23 minutes, he was 3 of 6 from the field. And Isaiah Stewart, rounding out the starting lineup, did not score at all. In 25 minutes, he was 0 of 3 from the field. He had 0 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. And off the bench for the Pistons, they got 11 points from Frank Jackson in 14 minutes. He was 5 of 11 from the field. 10 points for Trey Lyles. He had 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. And then they also got 6 points from the point guard, Killian Hayes, in 29 minutes. He was 2 of 8 from the field, but he had 8 assists, 2 steals, 2 rebounds. And then just 1 point for Josh Jackson and Rodney Magruder. All right, and next up we can move on to Toronto, where the Raptors easily defeated the Charlotte Hornets, 125-113. The Raptors were led by Gary Trent Jr. He had 32 points in the starting lineup, and they also got 24 from OG Anunoby and 24 as well from Pascal Siakam. He also chipped in with 12 assists and 9 rebounds. Whereas the Hornets were led by LaMelo Ball, the sophomore, had 25 points and 7 assists, and then they got 22 from Miles Bridges. But unfortunately for the Hornets, the shooting was just not nearly good enough to keep up with the Raptors. The Raps shot very efficiently, 52% from the field, 47% from three. Now, they did have 17 turnovers versus just 12 for the Hornets, but Charlotte just did not shoot the ball well enough, specifically from beyond the arc. They were 48% from the field overall, but just 32% from three. That is not nearly good enough to keep up with the 47% three-point shooting from the Raptors. And unsurprisingly, they were trailing throughout the majority of this game. They were trailing early on after being outscored in the first quarter 39-27, and then the Raptors maintained about a 10-point lead throughout the rest of the game. It dipped in the third quarter. The Hornets went on a little bit of a run after LaMelo Ball hit a three-pointer with 7:29 left. It was just a 3-point game. But by the end of the third, the Raptors had re-extended a double-digit lead, and then they maintained it throughout the fourth quarter. So a comfortable win here in Toronto in front of an empty arena. And so with this win, the Raps now improved to 23-22. So in the Eastern Conference, that is good for 8th place. They are just ahead of the Boston Celtics by a couple of percentage points, by a single percentage point, and they are 1.5 games behind the aforementioned Charlotte Hornets in 7th. They are 1.5 games up on the Washington Wizards in 10th, and the Raps have a plus 0.9 point differential. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. And as for the Hornets, as I mentioned, they are in 7th right now. This loss takes them to 26-22. Like I said, they're 1.5 games up on the Raps in 8th, and they're 2.5 games behind the Philadelphia 76ers in 6th. And Charlotte has a negative 0.4 point differential. They're on a 2-game losing streak, but they're 7-3 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Hornets, like I mentioned, were led by LaMelo Ball. 25 points in 32 minutes. He was 8 of 16 from the field, 8 of 9 from the free throw line. Just 1 of 5 from 3, though. He had 3 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal, and 4 turnovers. He was negative 19, though, in the plus-minus. That was a team low. In fact, all 5 starters were double digits negative in the plus-minus. But they also got 22 points from Miles Bridges. He was quite efficient in this game. 6 of 10 from the field, including 2 3-pointers, and 8 of 8 from the free throw line. And he had 4 rebounds, 3 assists. And then they got 12 points from Mason Plumlee and Terry Rozier. The big man Plumlee was 6 of 9 from the field, and he had 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. And Rozier was just 5 of 11 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, and a block, though. And then Cody Martin, rounding out the starting lineup, did not shoot the ball as efficiently. He was 2 of 8 from the field. He had 4 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. And off the bench for the Hornets, they got 18 points from the rookie, James Bouknight. A nice game for him, one of his better games of the season thus far. He was 6 of 11 from the field, 5 of 5 from the free throw line. He had 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. They also got 9 points from Kelly Oubre Jr., but he was not as efficient, 3 of 11 from the field. He had 2 threes, 3 rebounds. 6 points for the other rookie, JT Thor, in just 4 minutes. He was 2 of 2 from 3. And then they got 3 points from PJ Washington and 2 from Kai Jones. And as for the Raptors, they were led, as I mentioned, by Gary Trent Jr. He had 32 points in 35 minutes. He was 11 of 21 from the field, 5 of 10 from beyond the arc, and 5 of 5 from the free throw line. So a really efficient game for Trent, and he had 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. And then they also got 24 points from Pascal Siakam and OG Anunoby, both of whom stuffed the stat sheet. Siakam had 12 assists and 9 rebounds with 1 block, and he was 9 of 16 from the field. And then OG Anunoby had 24 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals and a block, and 3 three-pointers. Really nice production from Anunoby and Siakam. And then they got 12 points from Chris Boucher, the big man, in 30 minutes was 3 of 6 from the field. He had 2 threes, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. And then 9 points for Precious Achiuwa, rounding out the starting lineup. There was no Scotty Barnes in this game, so Achiuwa was 3 of 6 from the field. He had 7 rebounds, 3 assists. And off the bench for the Raptors, they got 11 points from Malachi Flynn. In 26 minutes, he was 4 of 7 from the field. He had 3 assists and 2 rebounds. 10 points for Delano Banton, the rookie. He was 4 of 8 from the field. He was plus 11 in the plus-minus. That was a bench high. And then they got 3 points from Yuto Watanabe in 22 minutes. All right, next up, we can move on to Washington, where the Wizards were just edged by the LA Clippers, 116-115. The Clippers were led by Amir Coffey. He had 29 points in the starting lineup, 3 three-pointers, and 16 from Terrence Mann, also in the starting lineup, and 25 points off the bench from Luke Kennard. He was on fire in this game, specifically late. This was a 35-point comeback by the Clippers, thanks in large part to Luke Kennard. He had 7 points in the final 9 seconds to help the Clippers stun the Wizards. It was an incredible comeback. They were down so significantly early on. They were outscored in the first quarter 32-23, and then in the second 34-13. So this was nearly a 30-point lead at the half, but they came storming back. In the third quarter, they outscored the Wizards 40-27, and then in the fourth, they outscored the Wiz 40-22. So just an incredible comeback for the Wizards, and like I said, it was capped off by an insane finish from Luke Kennard. He had 5 three-pointers, and he was a team-high plus 26 in the plus-minus. And the Clippers, unsurprisingly, shot 37% from beyond the arc, which was better than the Wizards. However, Washington actually shot better from the field overall, but they turned the ball over 19 times versus just 12 for the Clippers. That really helped the Clips get back into this game. Those turnovers were just killing Washington in the second half, and you'd really expect better from a veteran team. But nonetheless, this loss takes them to 23-25, so that is good for 10th in the Eastern Conference. As I mentioned, they are 1.5 games behind the Raps and Celtics in 8th and 9th, and they are just ahead of the New York Knicks. They are exactly tied in the standings, but the Wizards are ahead on the tiebreaker, and then they're 1 game up on the Atlanta Hawks in 12th. So the Wizards better watch out, because they've got some teams hot on their heels below them in the standings. They are -2.1 the point differential, which, as we've touched on before, is third worst in the conference, ahead of just the Pistons and Magic. They're on a 4-game losing streak now, and they're just 4-6 in their last 10 games. And as for the Clippers, this win takes them to 24-25. So they are still in 9th in the Western Conference, but they're just half a game behind the Lakers in 8th, and they're 1 game behind the Timberwolves in 7th. So it's pretty tightly contested there in the middle of the Western Conference. The Clippers are -1.1 in the point differential, which is exactly tied with the Lakers, and they're 5-5 in their last 10, which is also tied with the Lakers. So those two teams, very tightly contested there in the 8th and 9th seeds, the LA teams. So anyways, moving on to the box score. And the Clippers, as I mentioned, were led by Amir Coffey in the starting lineup. He was on fire in this game. 29 points on 10 of 21 shooting. He was 3 of 9 from beyond the arc, 6 of 6 from the free throw line. He had 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and a block. This has been a breakout season for Amir Coffey, kind of thrust into a starter's role for the Clippers with all their injuries that they've been dealing with. And he was plus 15 in the plus minus. That was the only positive plus minus amongst the starting lineup. They also got 16 points from Terrence Mann in 32 minutes. He was 6 of 12 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals. Just 4 points for Reggie Jackson. He was ice cold in this game, 1 of 9 from the field. He was a team worst, negative 29 in the plus minus. Obviously, he was primarily out there in the first half, and he had just 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. And then the other two starters didn't do a whole lot either. Just 2 points for Ivica Zubats. He was also ice cold, 0 of 5 from the field. He had 4 rebounds and 2 assists. And then Nick Batum did not score at all. He just played 8 minutes before going out of this game. He had 0 points, 4 rebounds. But off the bench for the Clippers is where they really thrived. 25 points from Luke Kennard. He was carrying this team throughout portions of this game. In 30 minutes, he was 8 of 13 from the field, 5 of 8 from beyond the arc, and perfect 4 of 4 from the free throw line. He had 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, and like I said, he was a team-high plus 26 in the plus-minus. Just an incredible performance from Kennard. And then they also got 16 from Isaiah Hartenstein in 26 minutes. He was 6 of 12 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. And then they got 8 points from Jay Scrubb in 17 minutes. He had 4 rebounds. 7 points for Eric Bledsoe. 5 for Brandon Boston Jr. And 4 for Justice Winslow in 23 minutes. He had 6 rebounds and 4 assists. Whereas the Wizards were led, as I mentioned, by Bradley Beal. In 40 minutes, he had 23 points on 8 of 15 shooting. He had 2 3-pointers, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal. He did have 5 turnovers, though. 19 points for Kyle Kuzma in 35 minutes. He was 6 of 14 from the field. He had 12 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. They got 12 points from Daniel Gafford, the big man, just playing 12 minutes. Once again, his minutes have been dwindling, as we've touched on before. He had 3 rebounds in that time. 12 points for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He was 3 of 7 from the field in 29 minutes. And just 5 points for Spencer Dinwiddie. He is such a hot and cold player. One game, he'll be, like, knocking down a bunch of 3-pointers. And the next game, he'll go 1 of 7 from 3 like he did in this one. He was 2 of 10 from the field overall. Just 5 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. And off the bench for the Wizards, they got 11 points from Denny Avdia and Thomas Bryant. The sophomore, Avdia, was 4 of 8 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 2 assists. And Bryant, the backup big man, was 3 of 4 from the field in just 15 minutes. He had 4 rebounds, 1 block, 1 assist. Like I have mentioned before, I would not be surprised at all if Bryant eventually replaces Gafford in the starting lineup. And then they also got 12 points from the other backup big man, Montrezl Harrell. In 20 minutes, he was 3 of 5 from the field. He had 8 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 blocks. And then they also got 7 points from Rui Hachimura in just 13 minutes. He was 3 of 6 from the field. And 3 points for Corey Kispert in 20 minutes. He was 1 of 4 from the field. So in addition to switching around the starters, I would also not be surprised if the Wizards eventually moved on from one of these big guys, because they've got like 6 or 7 capable power forwards and centers and just not enough minutes to distribute amongst the team. Davis Bertans didn't even play a single second in this game. All right, and next up, we can move on to Philadelphia, where the 76ers easily defeated the New Orleans Pelicans, 117-107. This was actually a makeup game from the one that they missed on December 19th. And the 76ers should probably be pleased that this game was delayed until now, because Joel Embiid is absolutely unstoppable at the moment. He had 42 points in this game with 14 rebounds. Over his last 10 games, he's averaging 35 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, 1.5 blocks. He's shooting 54% from the field, 34% from 3, which is actually worse than his overall 3-point shooting percentage this season. So Embiid, suffice it to say, is having an incredible run of form and an incredible season overall. He has just been insane, and he was dominant in this one once again, as we predicted yesterday. And then they also got 33 points and 11 rebounds from Tobias Harris. He was pretty dominant as well. Whereas the Pelicans, the shorthanded Pelicans, were led by Nikhil Alexander-Walker. In the starting lineup, he had 31 points on 11 of 22 shooting. He was 5 of 9 from 3, so a surprisingly efficient game here for Alexander-Walker. And then they also got a big double-double from Willy Hernan Gomez, also inserted into the starting lineup. He had 29 and 10. And so, unfortunately for the Pelicans, they were just severely shorthanded. There was no Brandon Ingram, no Devontae Graham, and of course, several other guys, including Zion Williamson, still out. So they had, like I said, Hernan Gomez and Jose Alvarado and Herb Jones and Nikhil Alexander-Walker all in the starting lineup, a couple of rookies in there. So all things considered, they did well to be as close as they were. It was actually not until about midway through the fourth quarter when the 76ers started to pull away. The Pelicans were hanging with the 76ers all the way up until about the 7-minute mark in the fourth quarter. That's when the 76ers started to pull away. Joel Embiid specifically hit a couple of clutch buckets there midway through the fourth quarter. And ultimately, the Pelicans just couldn't keep up. But credit to New Orleans, they actually shot better than the 76ers from the field and from three. They were actually red hot from beyond the arc, 40%. whereas the 76ers were just 32%, and the New Orleans Pelicans only had 8 turnovers. That is really impressive for a shorthanded team with 2 rookies in the starting lineup. But nonetheless, they were absolutely dominated in the fourth quarter. They were outscored 31-21 in the fourth. And so with this win, the 76ers now improved to 28-19. So they are currently in 6th in the Eastern Conference. They are just half a game, though, behind the Cleveland Cavaliers in 5th, and they're 2.5 games up on the Charlotte Hornets in 7th. And the 76ers are plus 2.0 in the point differential. That is about where they should be in the conference standings. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games. They're on a 2-game winning streak. And as for the New Orleans Pelicans, this loss takes them to 18-29. So they are in 11th in the Western Conference. They're 2 games behind the Portland Trailblazers in 10th, and they're just half a game up on the San Antonio Spurs in 12th. The Pels are negative 4.2 in the point differential. That is 4th worst in the conference, and they are 5-5 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Pelicans, as I mentioned, were led by Willie Hernan Gomez and Nikhil Alexander Walker, both of whom were inserted into the starting lineup, and both were incredible. Alexander Walker had 31 points in 37 minutes. He was 11 of 22 from the field, 5 of 9 from 3, and he had 4 rebounds and 5 assists. And then Hernan Gomez had a big double-double, 29 points on 11 of 15 shooting. He had 10 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block. He was negative 4 in the plus-minus, but actually all 9 of the players to see the court for the Pelicans were negative in the plus minus. And then they also got 12 points from Herb Jones, the rookie, in 39 minutes. He was 5 of 12 from the field. He had 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. He has just been a revelation for the Pelicans this season. Definitely one of the steals of the draft, along with Ayo Dosunmu and a couple of other guys. And then they also got 11 points from Jose Alvarado, the other rookie. In 33 minutes, he was 4 of 11 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. And then just 2 points for Garrett Temple, the elder statesman in this starting lineup. He was 1 of 4 from the field. He had 5 rebounds and 3 assists. And off the bench for the Pelicans, they got 15 points from Jackson Hayes, the backup big man, in 22 minutes. He was 6 of 10 from the field, and he had 5 rebounds. 4 points for Najee Marshall in 22 minutes. 3 for Gary Clark. And as for the 76ers, they were led, as I mentioned, by Joel Embiid. Just another incredible MVP-caliber performance from the process. He had 42 points in 33 minutes. He was 12 of 24 from the field. He didn't hit a single three-pointer. He was 0 of 3, but he was 18 of 20 from the free-throw line. He is just unstoppable. Unless you foul him and send him to the free-throw line, in which case he's just going to knock down like 90% of his free-throws. So just insane scoring from Embiid. And then he also had 14 rebounds, 4 assists, and 4 blocks as well. Like I said, he is absolutely at an MVP level at this point. And then they also got 33 points from Tobias Harris in 39 minutes. He was incredibly efficient in this game, 13 of 19 from the field, and perfect 3 of 3 from beyond the arc. He had 11 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. And then they got 13 points from Furkan Korkmaz in 37 minutes. He was not quite as efficient, 3 of 10 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 2 assists. 10 points for Tyrese Maxey, the sophomore, in 35 minutes, was 4 of 10 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 5 assists. And 3 points for Matisse Thybulle, rounding out the starting lineup. He was just 1 of 5 from the field, but he had 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and a block. And off the bench for the 76ers, they got 6 points from Jorik Niang and Isaiah Joe. Niang was 2 of 5 from the field. He had 6 assists. And Joe was 2 of 6 from the field. He had 3 assists and 2 rebounds. And then 4 points for Andre Drummond in 15 minutes. He had 5 rebounds. All right, and next up we can move on to Boston, where the Celtics absolutely demolished the Sacramento Kings, 128-75. The Celtics were led by Jason Tatum once again. He has been on fire lately. He had 36 points in this game, 7 of 14 from beyond the arc. And then they also got a big double-double from Robert Williams, 13 points, 17 rebounds, and then 30 points and 10 rebounds from Jaylen Brown. So the young core for the Celtics, Williams, Tatum, and Brown, were just on fire in this game. And they also got 14 points off the bench from Josh Richardson, whereas the Kings were led by Buddy Hield. He had 11 points off the bench. He was their leading scorer. Nobody else on the entire roster scored in double digits. There was some pretty atrocious shooting from the Kings. Davion Mitchell was 3 of 15 from the field. Mo Harkless was 1 of 5. Harrison Barnes in the starting lineup was 1 of 12. This was just an absolutely abysmal showing for the Kings. They were outscored in every single quarter. They were outscored in the first quarter 38-13. This was a blowout after 12 minutes, and then the Celtics just expanded upon that lead significantly in every single quarter from there on out. It was a 35-point game at halftime. It was 65-30, so just incredible blowout here for the Celtics. And unsurprisingly, they were extremely efficient, 49% from the field, 44% from three, whereas the Kings were abysmal, 30% from the field, 18% from three. And they were also totally dominated on the boards, 67-45. So definitely a night to forget here for the Sacramento Kings. And so this loss takes them to 18-31, which is good for 13th in the Western Conference. Their point differential definitely took a hit in this one. They are -5 now, which is indeed third worst in the conference. They are half a game behind the Spurs in 12th, and they're three games up on the Thunder in 14th. They are on a four-game losing streak, and they're just 2-8 in their last 10 games. Whereas the Celtics, with this win, now improved to 25-24, so they have been playing a lot better recently. They're on a two-game winning streak. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. They are in 9th right now in the East, just behind the Toronto Raptors in 8th, and 1.5 games behind the Charlotte Hornets in 7th, and they're also 1.5 games up on the Wizards in 10th. And they are very impressively +3.1 in the point differential, which is actually 4th best in the entire Eastern Conference. So if that's any indication, as well as their record over their last 10 games, the Celtics are due to rise in the conference standings quite a bit, and they would be very happy to get out of the play-in game range, but they've definitely got some competition, as that top 6 looks pretty tough to crack lately. So anyways, moving on to the box score, and the Kings were led, as I mentioned, by Buddy Hield off the bench with just 11 points in 24 minutes. He was 4 of 14 from the field and 3 of 9 from 3. He had 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and that was the best on the team. So just incredible lack of production across the board from the Kings that Buddy Hield, the only player to score in double digits with 11 points on the entire roster. So as for the starters, they got 9 points from Rashawn Holmes. He was 4 of 6 from the field. He had 9 rebounds. He was -29 in the plus-minus. The team low was actually Tyrese Halliburton, the sophomore point guard. He was -40 in his 27 minutes. He had 7 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. He was 2 of 9 from the field. They also got 7 points from Terrence Davis. He was 2 of 5 from the field in just 10 minutes. 4 points for Harrison Barnes, but like I said, he was ice cold. 1 of 12 from the field, 0 of 6 from 3. And Marvin Bagley, rounding out the starting lineup, had 6 points and 6 rebounds in 21 minutes. And then briefly off the bench for the Kings, because this game was mostly garbage time, they got 6 points from Jamarius Ramsey, 6 from the rookie Davion Mitchell, 6 as well from Nemias Keita, 4 for Damian Jones, 6 for Lewis King, and 3 for Mo Harkless. And as for the Celtics, as I mentioned, they were led by Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Robert Williams. The young guys for the Celtics were incredible in this game. Tatum had 36 points in 31 minutes. He was 14 of 23 from the field, 7 of 14 from beyond the arc, and he had 4 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 block. He was +36 in the plus-minus. And then they got 30 points and 10 rebounds from Jaylen Brown in just 24 minutes. He was 11 of 19 from the field, 5 of 12 from 3. Incredible efficiency for Brown. And he had 3 assists as well. And then a big double-double from Robert Williams. He stuffed the stat sheet with 13 points, 17 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. And he was very efficient, 6 of 8 from the field. And then the other two starters actually didn't do a whole lot for the Celtics. In fact, they were quite bad. Al Horford was 1 of 9 from the field for just 3 points. He did have 8 rebounds and 2 assists, though. And then Marcus Smart did not score at all. He was 0 of 3 in 24 minutes. He had 7 assists and 3 rebounds. But off the bench for the Celtics, they got 14 points from Josh Richardson in 22 minutes. He was 6 of 9 from the field. He had 8 rebounds. 10 points for Aaron Nesmith, the sophomore. He was 4 of 8 from the field. In 19 minutes, he had just 1 three-pointer and 4 rebounds. 8 points for Grant Williams. He had 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. 9 points for Peyton Pritchard, the other sophomore. In just 9 minutes, he was 4 of 8 from the field. And then they also got 3 points from Romeo Langford and 2 from Dennis Schroeder. All right, and next up we can move on to Brooklyn, where the Nets were defeated by the LA Lakers, 106-96. LeBron James continues his incredible play. He had 33 points to lead the way for the Lakers in this game. He had 7 rebounds, 6 assists, led the team in all 3 categories. And then they also got 15 from Russell Westbrook and 8 from Anthony Davis making his return. He had 4 blocks in just 25 minutes. And then they got 22 points from Malik Monk off the bench. Whereas the Nets were led by James Harden, he also led the team in all 3 categories, 33 points, 12 rebounds, 11 assists, but he was the only one of the big 3 to be in this game for the Nets, as obviously Kyrie Irving cannot play in their home games, and Kevin Durant is out. And unfortunately for the Nets, Harden didn't get a whole lot of help, just 15 points from Patty Mills and 12 from DeAndre Bembry. They were the only 3 players to score in double digits for the Nets, and they were unsurprisingly handily defeated by the Lakers in this game. Now that they've got Anthony Davis back, they look like a much more competent team. They outscored the Nets 33-25 in the first and 30-25 in the third. So by the fourth quarter, it was a double-digit lead for LA, and they maintained that double-digit lead throughout the fourth quarter. At one point, LeBron had back-to-back steals and dunks in the fourth quarter. So this was a comfortable win in the end for the Lakers, and they shot pretty efficiently, 47% from the field. They were just 31% from three, but the Nets were even worse. They were 25% from three and 42% from the field overall, and they had 19 turnovers versus just 10 for the Lakers. So a really sloppy game here for the Nets. The only area in which they were dominant was the rebounds. They totally crushed LA on the boards, 54-33, but that was not nearly enough to overcome all the other obstacles in their way, like the turnovers and the inefficiency. So this loss takes the Nets now to 29-18, which is actually still good for third in the Eastern Conference. They are one game now out of the top spot, the Miami Heat in first, and half a game behind the Chicago Bulls in second. And they are plus 2.2 in the point differential, which is currently fifth best in the conference. And they're just 5-5 in their last 10 games. They're on a two-game losing streak. And as for the Lakers, this win takes them to 24-24. So they are back to 500. And fittingly, they are right in the middle of the Western Conference. They are in eighth, and they're half a game up on their neighbors, the Clippers, in ninth, and they're half a game behind the Minnesota Timberwolves in seventh. And the Lakers are negative 1.1 in the point differential, which, as we touched on, is exactly tied with the LA Clippers below them, and they're 5-5 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Lakers, as I mentioned, were led by LeBron James once again. The 37-year-old just looks totally refreshed this season somehow. He had 33 points in this game in 34 minutes. He was 14 of 21 from the field, 2 of 8 from 3, but he had 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. Just insane productivity. Many have pointed out that this is potentially the best season ever by a 37-year-old. And then they also got 15 points from Russell Westbrook in 33 minutes. He was 7 of 14 from the field. He had 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal. He did have 5 turnovers, though. 9 points for Avery Bradley in 24 minutes. He had 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals. 8 points for Anthony Davis making his return. He just played 25 minutes, but he was 3 of 8 from the field in that time. He had 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 4 blocks. And then they got 4 points from Stanley Johnson in 29 minutes. And then off the bench for the Lakers, they got 22 points from Malik Monk in 28 minutes. He was 7 of 13 from the field, 6 of 12 from 3. He was on fire in this game, and he also had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and he was plus 14 in the plus-minus. And then the team high in plus-minus was Carmelo Anthony, the veteran. He was plus 15 in his 23 minutes. He had 13 points, 3 three-pointers, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and a block. And then they got 2 points from Austin Reeves, the rookie, in 25 minutes. And as for the Nets, they were led, of course, by James Harden. He had a triple-double, 33 points, 12 rebounds, and 11 assists, 2 steals and a block. He was 11 of 24 from the field, 2 of 7 from 3, 9 of 9 from the free throw line. Now, he did have 6 turnovers, but nonetheless, everything else was pretty spectacular for James Harden. The field goal percentage was a little bit lower than you'd like, but the free throws were fantastic. And then, of course, the 23 combined rebounds and assists is incredible. And then they also got 15 points from Patty Mills in 30 minutes. He was 6 of 14 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers, 2 assists, 1 steal. 12 points for DeAndre Bembry in 30 minutes. He was 5 of 8 from the field. He had 4 rebounds. And then the two rookies rounding out the starting lineup, Kessler Edwards had 5 points and 6 rebounds in 33 minutes. And De'Ron Sharpe just had 4 points in 11 minutes. He had 8 rebounds in that time. And off the bench for the Nets, they got 8 points from James Johnson in 24 minutes. He had 4 rebounds, 2 assists. He was negative 18 in the plus-minus. That was a team low. 9 points for LaMarcus Aldridge in 20 minutes. He had 6 rebounds. 4 points for Bruce Brown. And 6 points for Nick Claxton. And I would not be surprised to see Claxton or Brown or Aldridge inserted into the starting lineup at some point soon, because these rookies, Kessler Edwards and De'Ron Sharpe, have been okay. But I would certainly think that some of these more experienced guys off the bench could be an upgrade in those spots in the starting lineup. All right, and next up we can move on to Houston, where the Rockets were soundly defeated by the San Antonio Spurs, 134-104. The Spurs were led by DeJounte Murray. He had 19 points, 10 assists, 5 rebounds, and they also got 18-9 from Jakob Poeltl and 16 from Keldon Johnson, whereas the Rockets were led by Kevin Porter Jr. He had 16 points and 9 assists, and they also got 15 points from Christian Wood and 14 from Jayshon Tate, as well as Alperen Şengün, the rookie, off the bench. But this was a blowout in the end. The Spurs just slowly but surely built up more and more of a lead over the course of this game. They outscored the Rockets 34-23 in the first, 32-28 in the second, and 39-23 in the third. That's when they really started to dominate this game. And then they just cruised to victory in the fourth. It was basically garbage time throughout the entire final period. And unsurprisingly, the Spurs were very efficient. 57% from the field. That is insane efficiency. And they were 37% from three, whereas the Rockets were very inefficient. 41% from the field, 26% from three. And as they typically do, they had a lot of turnovers. 17. They lead the NBA in turnovers, whereas the Spurs just had 13. So a comfortable win in Houston for San Antonio. And with this win, they now improve to 18-30. So that is good for 12th in the Western Conference. They're half a game up on the Kings now in 13th, and they are half a game behind the New Orleans Pelicans in 11th. And the Spurs are 0.0 in the point differential, which is actually better than all four teams ahead of them, including even the Lakers all the way up in 8th. But the Spurs are just 3-7 in their last 10 games. And as for the Rockets, this loss takes them to 14-34. So they are back at the bottom of the Western Conference. The Thunder were briefly at the bottom, but the Rockets have retaken that 15th seed, and they are half a game now behind the Thunder. They have a negative 8.4 point differential, which is in fact worst in the West, and they are just 4-6 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Spurs, as I mentioned, were led by DeJounte Murray, but they actually got double-digit scoring from four of the starters and four guys off the bench. So this was a balanced attack for San Antonio. They got 19 points from DeJounte Murray in just 24 minutes. He was 8 of 15 from the field, just 1 of 5 from 3, but he had 5 rebounds, 10 assists, and 3 steals. He has been absolutely one of the most elite fantasy players in the entire league this season. And then they got 18 points from Jakob Poeltl in 21 minutes only. He was 9 of 13 from the field, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 blocks. And he was plus 22 in the plus minus. That was a starter's high. And then they got 16 points from Keldon Johnson. He was incredibly efficient in this game, 7 of 10 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, 2 3-pointers. 15 points for Doug McDermott. He was 6 of 11 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 2 assists. And 5 points for Derek White, rounding out the starting lineup. He was probably the most disappointing starter. He had just 5 points on 2 of 5 shooting, 6 assists, 2 rebounds. And then off the bench for the Spurs, like I mentioned, they got double-digit scoring from 4 guys. 14 points from the sophomore point guard Trey Jones in 25 minutes. He was 6 of 8 from the field. He had 2 rebounds, 4 assists. They got 12 points from the sophomore wing Devin Vassell in 29 minutes. He was 4 of 10 from the field. All 4 of his makes came from beyond the arc. He was a team-high plus 29 in the plus-minus, and he had 4 rebounds and 6 assists. And then they also got 13 points from Drew Eubanks, the backup big man. He was 6 of 9 from the field. He had 9 rebounds, 2 assists, and 12 points for Thad Young. In just 12 minutes, he was 6 of 8 from the field. Incredible efficiency from several guys on the Spurs here. And then they also got 6 points from Jock Landale. He was 2 of 2 from the field in just 7 minutes. Lonnie Walker was pretty much the only inefficient player on the roster for the Spurs. He was 2 of 10 from the field. He had 4 points. And as for the Rockets, they were led, as I mentioned, by Kevin Porter Jr. He had 16 points in the starting lineup. He was 5 of 12 from the field. He had 2 threes, 5 rebounds, 9 assists. He was negative 19, though, in the plus-minus. He had 4 turnovers. They got 15 points from Christian Wood in 24 minutes. He was 6 of 11 from the field. He had 2 threes and 7 rebounds. 14 points for the sophomore, Jayshon Tate. He played just 19 minutes. He had 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals in that time. And then they got 7 points from the other two starters. Eric Gordon, the veteran, was 2 of 9 from the field. He was negative 20 in the plus minus. He had 5 rebounds, 2 assists. And 7 as well for Jalen Green, the rookie. He was ice cold in this game, 3 of 16 from the field, 1 of 8 from beyond the arc. And off the bench for the Rockets, they got 14 points from the rookie Alperen Şengün. In 24 minutes, he was 5 of 13 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 3 blocks. They also got 13 points from Josh Christopher and Kenyon Martin Jr. Christopher, the other rookie, was 6 of 9 from the field, one of the more efficient players for the Rockets in this game. He had 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. And then KJ Martin was also very efficient, 6 of 7 from the field. He had 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, although he was negative 28, which was a team low in the plus-minus. And then they just got 5 points from Garrison Matthews. He was 1 of 6 from the field. All right, and next up, we can move on to San Francisco, where we had another blowout. The Warriors totally demolishing the Dallas Mavericks, 130-92. I did not see this coming. The Mavericks have been playing very well up to this point, and the Warriors have been a little bit shaky recently, but they were totally dominant in this game. They were led by the rookie, Jonathan Kuminga. He had 22 points off the bench. He was incredibly efficient, 8 of 9 from the field, and they also got 17 from Jordan Poole off the bench, and then 18 from Steph Curry in the starting lineup, and 15 from Klay Thompson. He was 3 of 5 from 3. Whereas the Mavericks were led by Luka Doncic, he had 25 points and 8 rebounds, and then they got 11 from Jalen Brunson and 10 from Tim Hardaway Jr. off the bench. They were the only three players to score in double digits for the Mavericks. This game was offensively a struggle for Dallas. They were outscored in every single quarter, so the Warriors just slowly but surely building up more and more of a lead. You would have thought that maybe in the fourth quarter and garbage time things would have equaled out a little bit, but no, the Warriors just kept the pressure on. In fact, that was their most dominant quarter. They outscored the Mavs 33-14 in the fourth, so this was a total blowout by the end, and unsurprisingly, the Warriors were incredibly efficient. Like the Spurs in the previous game, they were 53% from the field and 39% from three, and they totally dominated Dallas on the boards as well, 58-38. The Mavs were just 25% from three, 35% from the field overall. So a game to forget here for the Mavericks, to be sure. And so with this loss, they now fall to 27-21. So that is still good for fifth in the Western Conference, but they're just one game up now on the Denver Nuggets in sixth, and they're three games behind the Utah Jazz in fourth. And they are plus 1.9 in the point differential, which is exactly where they should be in the conference standings. And they're still 7-3 in their last 10 games. And as for the Warriors, this win takes them to 35-13. So that is second best in the entire NBA behind just the Phoenix Suns. They're now three games behind the Suns in first and 3.5 games up on the Memphis Grizzlies in third. And then the Warriors are plus 8.3 in the point differential. They have retaken the best point differential in the NBA. They're on a three-game winning streak now, and they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Mavs, as I mentioned, were led by Luka Doncic. He was pretty much the only player on the roster to have a really solid game. 25 points in 27 minutes. He was 7 of 17 from the field, so not the most efficient field goal percentage, but he was 4 of 7 from 3 and perfect 7 of 7 from the free throw line. And then he also had 8 rebounds, 3 assists, and he was negative 19 in the plus-minus, but that was not even the starter's low. That was Jalen Brunson. He was negative 22 in the plus-minus. In 36 minutes, he had 11 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists. And then 9 points for Kristaps Porzingis. He was ice cold in this game, 4 of 15 from the field. He had 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 2 blocks. And then 8 points for the other two starters, Maxi Kleba and Dorian Finney-Smith. Kleba, in 24 minutes, was 2 of 3 from beyond the arc. He had 4 rebounds. And Finney-Smith was 3 of 8 from the field, 0 of 3 from beyond the arc. He had 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals. And off the bench for the Mavericks, they got 10 points from Tim Hardaway Jr. He was 5 of 5 from the free throw line. He had just one assist, though. 6 points for Reggie Bullock in 24 minutes. He was 2 of 6 from the field. He was negative 16 in the plus minus. The team low in that regard was Josh Green. He was negative 25 in his 22 minutes. He was 2 of 8 from the field. He had 3 assists, 2 rebounds, 2 steals, though. 4 points as well for Trey Burke, the backup point guard, in 8 minutes. He was 2 of 5 from the field. And 7 points for Frank Ntilikina. And that was it in terms of the scoring off the bench for the Mavs. Whereas the Warriors were led by Jonathan Kuminga, the rookie, off the bench. He was incredible in this game. 22 points in just 18 minutes. He was 8 of 9 from the field, 4 of 4 from beyond the arc, and 2 of 2 from the free throw line. So nearly a perfect game for Kuminga. He had 5 rebounds. He was plus 16 in the plus minus in just his 18 minutes. So just an incredible performance in limited minutes for Kuminga. And as for the starters, they were led by Steph Curry. He had 18 points in 29 minutes. He was 7 of 16 from the field, 2 of 10 from 3, so still not quite at his best in terms of the efficiency. He did have 9 rebounds and 7 assists, though. And then they got 15 points from Klay Thompson. In 26 minutes, he was 6 of 12 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers, 2 rebounds, 6 assists. 14 for Andrew Wiggins. In 26 minutes, he was 5 of 11 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. 12 points for Otto Porter Jr., still no Draymond Green, so Porter continues to start. And he was also 5 of 11 from the field. He had 2 threes, 6 rebounds. And Kevon Looney, rounding out the starting lineup, did not score at all. He did not even attempt a field goal or a free throw, but he had 9 rebounds and 2 assists. And then off the bench for the Warriors, besides Kuminga, they also got a double-double from Nemanja Bjelica. He played 18 minutes and had 10 points and 10 rebounds with 4 assists and 2 steals. And then they got 17 points from Jordan Poole in 26 minutes. He was 6 of 10 from the field. He had 2 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. This team is just so deep and offensively talented. And then they got 9 points from Damian Lee in 24 minutes. He was 4 of 5 from the field. 3 points for Juan Toscano-Anderson, 7 for Gary Payton II, and 3 for the other rookie, Moses Moody. All right, and finally, we can move on to Portland, where the Trailblazers were just edged by the Minnesota Timberwolves, 109-107. The Wolves were led by Anthony Edwards. The sophomore had a huge game, one of his better games of the season thus far, 40 points in 39 minutes. He had 5 three-pointers, 9 rebounds, and 3 steals and 3 blocks. Incredible production from Edwards. And then they also got a big double-double from Karl-Anthony Towns, 17 points and 17 rebounds, and 22 points from D'Angelo Russell. Whereas the Trailblazers were led by Yusuf Nurkic, he had a big double-double, 20 points and 14 rebounds, and they got 20 points as well from Nasir Little and 17 from Anfernee Simons. But the Trailblazers, unfortunately, just fell apart in the second half. They were actually leading throughout the majority of this game. They were up by 8 at halftime after outscoring the Timberwolves 34-29 in the second quarter. But Minnesota came storming back in the third quarter. They outscored the Blazers 29-19 in the third. And then it was pretty much back and forth throughout the fourth quarter. It was actually the Timberwolves who had a pretty significant lead with about 3.5 minutes to go. They were up by 9. It was 106-97 after a three-pointer from Anthony Edwards. But then the Trailblazers went on a late run at the very end of the fourth. The Wolves' offense kind of stagnated. They only managed to score like 3 points in that final stretch. And so Portland definitely gave them a run for their money. It was really close down the stretch, but they just could not get over the hump. And the Timberwolves were able to hold on and get this win in the end. And Portland did what they do best in this game. They shot the ball very efficiently from long range, 39% from three, but they were also 39% from the field overall. The Timberwolves, on the other hand, were just 32% from three, but they were at least 43% from the field. But they did have 17 turnovers, which is way too many, but the Trailblazers had 14 themselves, so a pretty even game overall. But in the end, Anthony Edwards and the Timberwolves were just too hot, and so with this win, they now improved to 24-23. So that is good for 7th in the Western Conference. For Minnesota. They are half a game up on the Lakers in 8th and 1.5 games behind the Denver Nuggets in 6th. And they have a plus 1.1 point differential, which is exactly where they should be in the conference standings. And they're a very impressive 7-3 in their last 10 games. They're on a 2-game winning streak. And as for the Portland Trailblazers, this loss takes them to 20-27. So they're still holding on to that 10th seed in the West. They are 2 games up now on the New Orleans Pelicans in 11th, and they are 3 games behind the LA Clippers in 9th. And the Blazers are negative 3.5 in the point differential, which is 5th worst in the conference, but they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Wolves, as I mentioned, were led by Anthony Edwards. An incredible performance from the sophomore. 40 points in 39 minutes. He was 14 of 27 from the field. 5 three-pointers, 9 rebounds, 3 steals, and 3 blocks. Stuffing the stat sheet for Edwards. Incredible stuff. And then they also got a big double-double from Karl-Anthony Towns. 17 points and 17 rebounds in 37 minutes. He had 3 three-pointers, 2 assists, and 4 blocks. And then 22 points for D'Angelo Russell in 35 minutes. He was 7 of 16 from the field. He had 3 threes, 2 rebounds, 4 assists. 13 points and 13 rebounds for Jared Vanderbilt in 36 minutes. He was 5 of 7 from the field. He had 6 assists, 2 steals, and a block. And then 3 points for Jalen McDaniels in 16 minutes only. He was 1 of 6 from the field. He had 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals. And off the bench for the Timberwolves, they got 8 points from Jalen Noel in 20 minutes. He was 3 of 8 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 4 assists. And then 3 points only from Malik Beasley and Naz Reid. Those two, along with Torian Prince, went a combined 2 of 11 from the field. And as for the Portland Trailblazers, they were led, as I mentioned, by Nasir Little and Yusuf Nurkic, both of whom had 20 points. Nurkic had the double-double with 14 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal. He was 8 of 18 from the field in 32 minutes. And Little was a team-high plus 13 in the plus-minus. He had 20 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, and he was very efficient. 7 of 11 from the field, 4 of 6 from beyond the arc. A really nice game for Little. And then they got 17 points from Anfernee Simons, although he was much less efficient, 5 of 18 from the field. He had 4 three-pointers, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, 6 turnovers. 15 points for CJ McCollum, he was also not very efficient, 5 of 15 from the field. He had 3 threes, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. And 8 points for Robert Covington, rounding out the starting lineup. He was 3 of 11 from the field. He had 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. And off the bench for the Blazers, they got 9 points from Ben McLemore. In 18 minutes, he had 3 three-pointers. 8 points for Dennis Smith Jr., the backup point guard. He had 6 assists. 8 points as well for Norman Powell in 26 minutes, making his return. He will probably be reinserted into the starting lineup sooner rather than later. And just 2 points for Trendon Watford. All right, and that will do it for our box score breakdown. So we can now move on to fantasy, the standout and surprising fantasy lines of the night. And we had a bunch of really good options to pick from for standout line. There was LeBron James dropping 33-7-6. You had Cade Cunningham, the rookie, with 34-8-8. And then you had that huge double-double from Nikola Jokic, 28-21 and 9 assists. And then Robert Williams stuffed the stat sheet, 13 points, 17 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. And then there was other lines as well. Anthony Edwards with the 40. Tobias Harris had 33-11. But ultimately, it came down to two guys, James Harden and Joel Embiid. So Harden, first of all, for the Nets, had 33 points, 12 rebounds, 11 assists, 2 steals, and a block. But he was not super efficient, 11 of 24 from the field, and he had 6 turnovers. So ultimately, it has to be Joel Embiid. He has just been on a tear recently, and this game was no different. 42 points in 33 minutes. He was 12 of 24 from the field, 18 of 20 from the free throw line. That is really where he wins this award. He didn't have any 3-pointers, but he had 14 rebounds, 4 assists, and 4 blocks. Just insane productivity from Embiid, especially the free throws going 90% on 20 attempts is insane. And then the 4 blocks. And then, oh, by the way, he had 42 points. So Joel Embiid is absolutely your standout line of the night. And as for surprising line of the night, I kind of spoiled it. It's going to be Cade Cunningham, the rookie. He had 34 points in 40 minutes. It did come in a loss, but nonetheless, he was incredible in this game. 14 of 26 from the field. He had 8 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, and 4 blocks. Now, he did have 4 turnovers, and he didn't get to the free throw line at all, but that is just incredible production nonetheless from Cade Cunningham. He is finally starting to produce like the number one pick that we all envisioned. It was a little bit of a slow start to the season, but he has absolutely started to come on strong lately. And oh, by the way, he was 6 of 9 from 3. That is ridiculous. So the 6 threes, the 6 combined steals and blocks, and then the 16 combined rebounds and assists absolutely means that Cade Cunningham is your surprising line of the night, and Joel Embiid is your standout line of the night. All right, and with that, we can move on now to our preview for tonight, Wednesday, January the 26th. And once again, we have a full schedule in the NBA, 10 games. Starting off in Cleveland, the Cavaliers are taking on the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Bucks are -4.5. In Indiana, the Pacers take on the Charlotte Hornets, and the Hornets are -2. In Orlando, the Magic face the LA Clippers, and the Clips are -1. In Atlanta, the Hawks take on the Sacramento Kings, and the Hawks are big favorites. They are -9. In Miami, the Heat are taking on the New York Knicks, and the Heat are -6. In Chicago, the Bulls face the Toronto Raptors, and the Bulls are -4. In Brooklyn, the Nets are taking on the Denver Nuggets, and the Nuggets are -2.5. In San Antonio, the Spurs face the Memphis Grizzlies, and the Grizz are -4. In Utah, the Jazz take on the Phoenix Suns, and the Suns are -3. And finally, in Portland, the Trailblazers take on the Dallas Mavericks, and the Mavs are -4.5. All right, so some intriguing matchups across the NBA tonight. I am curious to see whether or not the Mavericks can bounce back from that huge defeat last night against the Warriors. They are -4.5 favorites in Portland, and the Blazers have been surprisingly competent recently, so I'm not sure if I would really feel that comfortable going with the Mavericks in that one, but I think it's going to be a stay away from me. I'm also very intrigued by that matchup of two of the top teams in the Western Conference, the Suns, -3 in Utah. The Jazz have been reeling lately. They are missing a ton of guys at the moment, and they're just 2-8 in their last 10 games. So I'm tempted by the Suns, -3, but I think it's going to be a stay away from me as well. Ultimately, we've just got two best bets for today. So first, we're going to take the Atlanta Hawks, -9 at home versus the Sacramento Kings. Now, this is a really big line, and the Hawks have not exactly had the most encouraging season thus far, but they have been playing really well recently. They're on a 4-game winning streak, and they are just surging at the moment. Ever since they traded Cam Reddish and got their lineup a little bit more concise, and they got DeAndre Hunter back as well, they've been playing really well. They also got Clint Capella back recently, so I think that the Hawks can keep up this hot play and really start to surge up the conference standings, considering how incredibly disappointing this season has been thus far. I think they can finally start to recapture some of that former glory that they had last season and really start to lay the smackdown on some of these crappy teams like the Sacramento Kings. And of course, the Kings just had a 40-point defeat to the Boston Celtics last night. So I don't think they're going to be exactly firing on all cylinders tonight. It's the second night of a back-to-back for them. So going to take the Hawks -9 for our first bet. And then for our second best bet, we're going to take the Toronto Raptors +4 in Chicago. I just feel like this line is a little bit too high, disrespectful towards the Raptors. They've been playing very well recently as well. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games, but they won their last one. This is the second night of a back-to-back for them, but I just have a good feeling about the Raptors at the moment. They are without Scotty Barnes, but Fred VanVleet, Gary Trent Jr., Pascal Siakam have all been playing fantastically well, whereas the Bulls, on the other hand, are struggling mightily at the moment. They are still in second in the Eastern Conference, but they're just 3-7 in their last 10 games, and their +1.6 point differential doesn't exactly inspire a ton of confidence. It's like 7th best in the conference. And of course, all their injuries that they've been dealing with also does not inspire a ton of confidence. They are obviously missing Lonzo Ball and Alex Caruso, and then Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan have both been in and out of the starting lineup recently. So I am not feeling that confident about the Bulls at the moment. And I think that line +4 for the Raptors is a little bit too high. So that's going to be our second best bet for today. We're going to take the Raptors +4 in Chicago. And then we're also going to take the Atlanta Hawks -9 at home versus the Sacramento Kings. All right, and that will do it for us today. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. We'll be back tomorrow to recap all 10 of those games and to preview the action for Thursday, January the 27th. Until then, thanks for tuning in.